Morning, everyone. It's great to be with you again today. It is Sunday, June 5th. We thank you for, again, participating with us, with our ministry, and also watching our online sermons and evangelism. And we thank you for your support and especially for your prayers. And this is a time where we all need extra prayer. We need fellow believers and friends praying for us. And it's always an honor to preach to Fellowship Baptist Church, as well as friends of the ministry. And we always want to be a blessing every week and give you the guidance that you need from God's Word. That's our main objective. As we know, things have not gotten easier for believers. We are in a constant state of attack as far as our beliefs, because we are experiencing a societal collapse. And again, this is nothing for us to be afraid of. This is not unique in history, but it's unique to us because we haven't been alive for all of history. So in the West, in what used to be known as Christendom or the Christian West, you see it in all the flags of the nations. It's undeniable. You see it in its literature, in its constitutions, in its forms of government. The churches and cathedrals, they were the skyscrapers of Europe at one time. So it's undeniable the way the gospel had affected the people of Europe. And now what we see is a wholesale apostasy. Those who are in charge, the elite families, those who run the world financially, real bankers, we're not talking about J.P. Morgan, Chase, we're talking about real banking houses, they've decided there are too many people in the world. That's all it comes down to. And they want to replace most of us with automation. This is not a conspiracy theory. This is nothing to be afraid about. It's not necessarily the time to predict the end of the world. It's just to explain to you, it's that simple, why we're under attack. If they needed a large population to fight in their wars, Christianity would be supported the way it was in the past. The male Christian patriarchy actually works because it makes women secure enough and feel valued enough that they want to have children. And it produces large families. Now, with drones, artificial intelligence, they feel that we're not needed, and they want to replace us with automation. So that's why you see Pride Month this month, the LGBTQ, PRSQ, whatever they keep adding to it. Anything but traditional and biblical marriage and sexual practices are celebrated. Anything that will produce children and a healthy family, a large healthy family especially, is not celebrated because they want the population down. So they didn't become perverts overnight. The leadership in the world, they always have been weird and perverted. What is new, and we have to remember this, is the little people who like to criticize those who think they're running the world. We become just as degenerate as they are. So if you ask the average man or woman on the street what their opinions are, they now support lesbianism and the gay stuff, the sodomite stuff, the transgenderism, the abortion, the every type of perversion that's shown on TV or on the computer online, they'll accept. So that's what's changed. So for Christians like myself, like you, we'll be watching today, how do we, like Lot, survive in Sodom and Gomorrah? And the point is, we trust God to find a way to rescue us. And we need to keep ourselves, we're in the world, but not of the world, separated from the culture. So the secret to surviving during these times is not to behave like the Hebrew people during the time of Judges and who we're studying right now during this sermon series. And again, I said it's perfect for our time because the Hebrews, with all that God gave them, they were too immature to handle it. They were lawless. And the worst of all of them we're going to read about today in Judges chapter 18 is the tribe of Dan, which was completely illegitimate in their beliefs and their practices. So you and I, the way we keep ourselves clean is very simple. Follow God's law, honor his commands. Jesus Christ has a law, he has commands. He did away with the law as far as us being condemned under the law, but he gave us a new law, a beautiful law, to love God and to love our neighbors, ourselves, and to especially show love to fellow believers. So stay active. We, the little people, can't change things much on the big scene, but on the local level, we can. So most of your trouble that you have in your life, they're local issues. So that's where we rebuild piece by piece after this collapses on the local level. And that's why networking, as I said, is so important for your own spiritual health and nowadays your own mental health. You need to know that. You need some confirmation in your lifestyle and your beliefs as the world is truly shown, as they say, its true colors and turned against us. But that's okay, because this is what all the Bible study and the prayer and the fellowship with other believers is for, to prepare us for times like this. So we as Christians, we can't do all of this training and then when the big fight comes, run away. We need to support one another. And we also, of course, have the encouragement from Scripture that these things have happened before. Again, the big issue for you and I, we weren't alive many times when things were in such a down state as far as the church is concerned and God's people, but it's happened before. So we learn from Scripture, we stay strong, and we remember that we're more important than we think. And if you love God and you love your neighbor, and especially fellow believers, you're the most important person on the planet because you're doing the gospel. You are living for Christ, and that's the main thing. And the biggest heartbreak for all of us is going to see family and friends fall away and see them suffer as this new Babylonian system gets ready to collapse. But remember, all of these empires, they're the most controlling, the most murderous, and the craziest at the end. Because as the beast dies, it wants to grab everything it can to bring it down with it. So let's be encouraged today. We'll see from the word that we've been here before. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is very serious about worship. And he'll condemn whoever goes against his Father, even his own people. And we'll see that today. So let's pray, and we'll get into our sermon. We'll be in Judges chapter 18, and the title of today's sermon is The Illegitimate Tribe of Dan. And we'll get into that word, illegitimate, why it's so important for our sermon today. But first, let us go to God in prayer and ask him for help. Almighty God, we thank you that we can call upon you, the great and living God, the God who's truly in control. We're sorry, Lord, for what many of our family and friends have become, those who claim to worship God, but we know it's not you, Lord. It's one of those gods with a little g, one of those demonic entities, as they claim to worship you, but they'll be celebrating or tolerating a Pride Month in America at this time, and they've become soft on all types of perversion. And we pray, Lord, that you keep us strong, that we could stand up during times like these. We ask for your protection, most important spiritually, that we don't fall away like many around us. And we ask, Lord, that you will continue to connect us with other believers, those who want to remain what it really means to be Christian. So we pray you continue to guide us. We thank you, Lord, for your loving support. We pray, Lord, that you would keep my mouth in check and that I might only speak the things that glorify you. And we pray for nuggets of wisdom from your word and for encouragement. And we ask this, Lord, in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So if you turn with me, we're going to be reading the book of Judges, chapter 18, and I'll read the first section, and then what we're going to do, because a lot of what I'm going to say might seem strange or controversial, as usual, we're going to go right to the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verses 31 through 47. So I'll read Judges 18, 1 through 13 to start the book off, and then we'll jump to John 8, because as we see how wicked and horrible the tribe of Dan was, I don't want you to think that I'm overemphasizing their wickedness or being unmerciful in any way. No one was more strict when it came to worship and the behavior of his people than the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to read that first section of Judges, and then we're going to jump to John chapter 8. So let's look at our text. Judges chapter 18, looking at verses 1 through 13 first. If you remember from last week, we have this strange man, Micah, that decides to develop his own worship system and makes idols and a worship center and even recruits an illegitimate Levite. Remember, all priests are Levites, but not all Levites can be priests. They had to be from the line of Aaron. So Micah, as we said, is just making it up as he goes along. He's showing the spirit of the age. He just wants a worship system that fits him, like evangelical America. If you don't like one church, you jump to another until they say the things you like. And that's basically the way pastors have been conditioned, especially the more popular ones. If you want to eke out a living and be a hired hand, you better say what the people want you to say. Otherwise, you'll be removed. So Micah is very modern, even though the book is about 3,000 years old. The book of Judges, especially this chapter, could have been written today because this describes our spiritual conditions. So let's continue in chapter 18. We're told, in those days there was no king in Israel, and in those days the tribe of the Danites sought them an inheritance to dwell in, for unto that day all their inheritance had not fallen unto them among the tribes of Israel. And the children of Dan sent to their family 5 men from their coasts, men of valor, from Zorah and from Eshtaol, to spy out the land and to search it. And they said unto them, go search the land. Who, when they came to the Mount Ephraim, to the house of Micah, they lodged there. When they were by the house of Micah, they knew the voice of the young man, the Levite, and they turned in thither and said unto him, who brought thee hither? And what makest thou in this place? And what hast thou here? And he said unto them, thus and thus dealeth Micah with me, and hath hired me, and I am his priest. And they said unto him, ask counsel, we pray thee, of God, that we may know whether our way which we go shall be prosperous. And the priest said unto them, go in peace. Before the Lord is your way wherein ye go. This is a crazy book and a crazy chapter. Then the 5 men departed and came to Laish, and saw the people that were therein, how they dwelt callous after the manner of the Zidonians, quiet and secure, and there was no magistrate in the land that might put them to shame in anything. And they were too far from the Zidonians, and had no business with any man. And they came up unto their brethren, to Zorah and Eshtaol, and their brethren said unto them, what say ye? And they said, arise, that we may go up against them. For we have seen the land, and behold, it is very good. They chose it like Lot in many ways. And are ye still, but not slothful to go, and to enter to possess the land? When ye go, ye shall come unto a people secure, and to a large land, for God hath given it into your hands. a place where there is no want of anything that is in the earth. And there went from thence of the family of the Danites out of Zorah and out of Eshtaol 600 men appointed with weapons of war. And they went up and pitched in Kirjath-Jearim and Judah, wherefore they called that place Mahanedan. Unto this day, behold, it is behind Kirjath-Jearim. And they passed thence unto Mount Ephraim and came unto the house of Micah. So what's going on here? Well, Dan will not disappoint us as the illegitimate tribe of Dan. The tribe of Dan illustrates, and this is our first point, why it may not have been mentioned in the book of Revelation with its usual lawless behavior. A lot of people forget that Ephraim and Dan are not mentioned in the book of Revelation when it comes to the chosen 144,000 symbolizing those who are faithful and who God would continue to take into his family in the world to come. They are not mentioned. And this is possibly one of the reasons why, even though we're not given an exact explanation, we'll see that the tribe of Dan was the problem child of the 12 tribes. They were especially lawless, didn't have any redeeming qualities in the way they behaved. And even earlier in the book of Judges, Deborah speaks about how they remained on their ships. They didn't even come out to fight with them. So Dan is that group. They're the crazy cousins that you don't want to invite to a wedding because they're completely lawless. They're embarrassing in their behavior and many times just outright dangerous. And if you think I'm being too hard on the tribe of Dan, that's why we're going to jump to John chapter 8. And you can listen to the words of Jesus Christ himself speaking to the Hebrew elite when he walked the earth, speaking to the Pharisees, actually calling them children of the devil. So God does not like those who participate in illegitimate behavior. And I gave you a definition of the word illegitimate, so you understand why that's part of the title of today's sermon, the illegitimate tribe of Dan. There's no other way to describe them, and this word in all its definitions describes them perfectly. So if you look at the definition I gave, not recognized as lawful offspring is one of them, born of parents not married to each other, not sanctioned by law, illegal, not authorized by good usage. And those are the second definition fits them perfectly. And we can go on. The third entry, when it comes to a definition of illegitimate, not rightly deduced or inferred, illogical. Number four, departing from the regular, erratic. This describes Dan. This describes the church. And unfortunately, describes many of our own family members today, as logic has no place in our society, and that's why it's not going to collapse. It has already collapsed, and we need to be prepared. So logic is dead. People act erratically based on their feelings, whatever mood they wake up in on that particular day. That is their law for their life, and it changes every day. So we're going to see there will be a split, not just in this nation and other nations, because people are illegitimate in their behavior, in their minds, in everything, in their spiritual lives. So this describes Dan. And this chapter explains how Dan violates God's covenant concerning land, law, and line of inheritance. They arbitrarily pick a land, piece of land for inheritance. They consult an idolatrous priest for guidance with an illegitimate family line. So the three main themes in the Old Testament, in Torah and the Tanakh, where God gives Israel a line appropriately, a land that he chose, he gives them a family line through Abraham. And he also gives them a legitimate priestly line that has to come through Aaron. We see that all of these are broken, all of them. And the law. So the trifecta, as they say, Dan strikes out on all three. The way they pick the land, the way they violate the law, and the line of inheritance. Everything they have done has broken God's covenant. So they pick this land, Laish, because the people look vulnerable. That's why they pick it. It looks like an easy conquest. It's a land that they could definitely use. So this is not using any type of criteria that God would want them to use. So before you think I'm being too harsh, let's turn to John chapter 8. We'll read verses 31 through 47 together. Look at how Jesus confronts an elite Jewish group, the Pharisees of that time. This would be your Bishop of Canterbury, your Archbishop of Canterbury and the Anglican Church, your Orthodox Archbishop, your Pope, all wrapped into one. These were the heavy hitters at the time. They were illegitimate since the Hasmonean dynasty. You have to study a little history. That's why we study the Maccabean Revolt. And that part of the Apocrypha is valuable just for history. That's what Hanukkah was all about. So we see that the Jews, even in times where they're doing well politically, aren't doing very well spiritually, just like America. So political power and material wealth doesn't always mean spiritual health. So let's look at what Jesus says to the leadership at this time. If you think I'm too harsh, this is a very hard book to get through, the book of Judges. It really hits home because I've experienced this with my own friends in the ministry, pastors that I've known a long time that are starting to compromise. They go along with the political spirit of the age, whether they're all in for Democrats or for Republicans, and they just think that our political leaders are going to save us. But it's going to take more than that. It's going to be God himself is going to have to move to save his people. And we cannot make a political party or our own nation an idol. But let's look at this conversation. So Jesus is explaining in this narrative, "Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man." Now remember, they say this as they're under the foot of Rome. "How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. And if the Son that therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. Speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father." They answered and said unto him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said unto them, "If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth." And that's what we're finding out in our age. Telling the truth is a dangerous act in an age of deception. "Which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father." Then said they to him, "We were not born of fornication. We have one father, even God." What does Jesus say? Jesus said unto them, "If God were your father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." So God is telling basically the elites in the Jewish world, those who are politically connected, those who are supposed to be guiding the people religiously, that they were illegitimate. And that's why this is a parallel in a lot of times in the New Testament with what was going on with the book of Judges and Dan, the tribe of Dan. They are our illegitimate, lawless all-stars in the book of Judges. And that's why now you understand why I titled today's sermon, The Illegitimate Tribe, and why you need to know what illegitimate means. All of it. It doesn't just mean to be born of parents who weren't married. It's everything. Erratic behavior, illogical in your thought system, making it up as you go along, like I said. So this is a wicked group. So I am not being too severe. I am only speaking out the way my Lord did. I'm only emulating my Lord when I call out the degenerates who claim to be Christian but will be celebrating Pride Month. Judgment via a rainbow. A rainbow in the Bible, which was supposed to be a symbol of peace and blessing, is now a symbol that has unleashed hell on earth, and especially in the West. We will be brought down by this lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, pedophilia agenda. And I told you that that flag, that pride flag, is a battle flag. That's exactly what it is. So they took down the Confederate flag. Heaven forbid you have a national socialist flag. And I understand. But the communist flag is A-OK. And even better is the rainbow flag. So we have Americans that claim to be ashamed of the American flag, but they have no problem with the pride flag. And that's what we are telling our neighbors around the world, because our embassies for the first time now fly an LGBTQ flag, this rainbow flag, which is disgusting. And if you love people, if you love those who are in the LGBT community, we all have friends and family who are, and we give witness to them out of love because we love them. We tell them the truth. We don't want them hurt. We don't want them diseased. We don't want them mentally ill. We want them to be healthy people that follow God's law, have beautiful families, have a fulfilled life, not be miserable. And now some of these people are being turned into Frankenstein creations, thanks to our doctors, who are worse than ancient pagans. Hippocrates even had the Hippocratic Oath, and our modern medical system used to abide by it, where the first rule of medicine is to do no harm, which means you can't destroy someone physically just because they want to be destroyed physically through transgenderism, and you were never allowed to abort children when it came to the standard Hippocrates set. But many so-called Christians are worse in the West than our Western pagan roots, some of them which were more honorable than your liberal Christian church, which is not Christian and it's not liberal, although they claim it. So we see Jesus is very strict. The one thing you do not mess with is the way God is worshipped. If you are lawless and you admit it, and you don't teach people that your way is the right way, there's hope for you. When you are lawless and perverted, and you teach that it's some type of official church doctrine, you are headed for hell, as well as everyone involved with you. So remember that as people revel this month. So many churches celebrating this month of hell, the Pride Month. So I read that. So now you understand the seriousness of what Dan was doing and why they might not have been included in the book of Revelation, how serious God takes this. Because at first glance, you'll say, Pastor, I've studied my Bible. Dan isn't illegitimate. They were a tribe given an inheritance, and when you hear the words of Christ, you see they're setting themselves up for failure. They're acting lawlessly. And it exactly applies. There's exact application for Judges 18 for our situation today. They're just making it up as they go along, completely illegitimate. So let's look at our second chunk of scripture to examine. We went through verses 1 through 13. We'll be going through verses 14 through 26. So Dan is a complete mess. Not only is Micah an idiot for starting his own system of a false worship, but Dan is even worse because they're going to steal his whole whole religious complex, including his priest. I would cry if I could. You got to laugh so you don't cry as you read this narrative. So let's go into our next batch of verses, 14 through 26. Let's see how ruthless Dan is. Then answered the five men that went out to spy the country of Laish, said unto their brethren, Do ye know that there is in these houses an ephod, and a teraphim, and a graven image, and a molten image? And therefore consider what ye have to do. And they turned thitherward and came to the house of the young man, the Levite, even unto the house of Micah, and saluted him. And the 600 men appointed with their weapons of war, which were of the children of Dan, stood by the entering of the gate. And the five men that went to spy out the land went up and came in thither and took the graven image and the ephod and the teraphim and the molten image. And the priest stood in the entering of the gate with the 600 men that were appointed with weapons of war. So Micah was obviously wealthy, but wealth and building a nice religious complex doesn't make it legitimate. It could still be quite illegitimate. And these went into Micah's house and fetched the carved image, the ephod, and the teraphim, and the molten image. Then said the priest unto them, What do ye? And they said unto him, Hold thy peace, shut up, lay thy hand upon thy mouth, and go with us, and be to us a father and the priest. Is it better for thee to be a priest unto the house of one man, or that thou be a priest unto a tribe and a family in Israel? And the priest's heart was glad. And he took the ephod and the teraphim and the graven image and went in the midst of the people. So they turned and departed and put the little ones and the cattle and the carriage before them. And when they were a good way from the house of Micah, the men that were in the houses near to Micah's house were gathered together and overtook the children of Dan. And they cried unto the children of Dan, and they turned their faces and said unto Micah, What aileth thee that thou comest with such a company? This is very funny, actually. And he said, Ye have taken away my gods, little g, which I made, and the priest, and ye are gone away. And what have I more? And what is this that ye say unto me, What aileth thee? And the children of Dan said unto him, Let not thy voice be heard among us, lest angry fellows run upon thee, and thou lose thy life with the lies of thy household. And the children of Dan went their way. And when Micah saw that they were too strong for him, he turned and went back unto his house. Now to explain what transpired here is very simple. The elders of Dan decide to confiscate the whole religious system of Micah, including his priests. They take everything, all the idols he made, and even the guy that he hired to provide the religious service. Now, this priest, he acts like a typical pastor for hire and goes along willingly with the tribe. Hey, I could leave this little church I pastor and get a huge salary and be really important by going to a huge congregation. I could be pastor to a whole tribe. It's very reminiscent of our religious system today in America. So Micah shows his deleterious mindset and chases the tribe of Dan to recover his pagan system of worship. He is told by the fighting men of Dan to basically go away or die. So Micah wants his stuff back. He's rich. And just like we have today, these billionaires think that their money makes them rational or somehow more logical, more legitimate in their activities. But they're not. Most of them are illegitimate, and God will smash them. And the money will be taken away. So money doesn't make you special. So because you are the founder of Walmart or Amazon, because you have a CIA and government connections, and a lot of this stuff was handed to you, just like Facebook to Zuckerberg or Tesla to Mr. Musk, It doesn't make you smarter than the rest of us. It just makes you more ruthless. And that's why you've been chosen for the job. So your money doesn't make you some type of legitimate person in the eyes of God. And it didn't make Micah legitimate either. And in his arrogance, he was crazy enough to chase after the tribe of Dan to try and get his stuff back. And they basically told him, back off or die. And he left. So that summarizes those verses. So we see that Dan is quite crazy, the tribe of Dan. And you have a man who started an illegitimate worship system, and Dan takes this to be their standard as they march towards the piece of land that they chose because the people look like easy victims. That's why Dan chose that land. It's very sad. Again, it really hits home. A lot of this stuff being read in the book of Judges. So what does Dan ultimately do? Well, let's read the rest of this, finish our sermon for today. And they took the things which Micah had made and the priests which he had and came unto Laish, unto a people that were at quiet and secure. And they smote them with the edge of the sword and burnt the city with fire. Obviously not acting like God's people, not legitimate in what they were doing. And it was no deliverer because it was far from Zidon, and they had no business with any man. And it was in the valley that lieth by Beth-Rehob. And they built the city and dwelt therein. And they called the name of the city Dan, how original, after the name of Dan, their father, who was born unto Israel. Howbeit the name of the city was Laish at the first. And the children of Dan set up the graven image. And Jonathan, the son of Gershom, the son of Manasseh, he and his sons were priests of the tribe of Dan. Now Gershom, if you do a little study on that, doesn't come from Aaron's line. So we have an illegitimate piece of land. We have an illegitimate family line. And we have an illegitimate law set up. So Dan strikes out on all three. The son of Manasseh, he and his sons were priests of the tribe of Dan until the day of the captivity of the land. And they set them up Micah's graven image, which he made all the time that the house of God was in Shiloh. And I sum it up in one sentence because I couldn't take it anymore. And basically, the tribe of Dan settles down and enjoys their illegitimate land, law, and family line. You couldn't break God's covenant any more than Dan did. And again, the title of today's sermon, The Illegitimate Tribe of Dan. So if you're making up things as you go along, remember what Jesus said about the Pharisees. Do as they say, but not as they do, for they do not practice what they preach. Be very careful. Be very careful today. Do not get involved in having an illegitimate life in the way you run your family line, in the way you manage what God has given you, whatever land, whatever resources he's given you, and by breaking his law. Do not run to do evil with this disgusting, wicked generation. I could tell you right now, they look like they have the upper hand. They're enjoying what they have illegitimately gained, but they're going to choke upon their evil. I don't know how. I don't know exactly when, but I'll tell you, God will not remain silent. So as bad as it looks, I'm going to stay on the Lord's side, and I'm going to live faithfully, and so are you. And as I've said before, as much as they try and scare us, they will be trapped in their own wicked schemes the way the Lord always does. And somehow, some way, by holding on to the Lord Jesus, by grasping the hem of his garment, we'll survive and we'll thrive. Amen. Dear God, we thank you for the way you hold your people in your hands. We thank you for all that you've done for us. We pray that you keep us faithful. Show us a way, Lord. Continue to send fellowship our way. We're so sorry, Lord, for so many in our church family and in our biological families who have turned away from you, who have embraced not just small practices involving sin, but major sin, things that you point out in the Bible are a mark of judgment. We pray, Lord, you would protect us from these illegitimate children of yours who celebrate this Pride Month and wave that wicked flag. And we pray, Lord, for those who are trapped in it. We love them. We want them to prosper. We want them to leave that lifestyle. So we pray, Lord, you protect us as your family until we meet again next week. We always ask this in the name of your Son, our Protector, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Be well until we meet again next week. Stay faithful. Don't be intimidated. They're smiling now, thinking they have all this power. And I'm telling you, with all the life that's in me, I know my God. And if you smile in his face wickedly, the day's going to come. He will knock your teeth out. Amen.